When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
And welcome back in, third and final hour of the program here on Friday morning. And it is time to be joined by our next guest. Diana McLean Smith has spent the past 35 plus years helping organizations transform intergroup conflict into a powerful force for change. She has led change initiatives in a wide range of contexts, from Fortune 500 companies to cutting edge nonprofits. And her groundbreaking leading through relationships approach has been used by thousands of teams and organizations around the world to break free of intractable conflict and co-create powerful change. And that's what we're going to talk about today, how to break through conflict, how to make change. Her book is Remaking the Space Between Us, How Citizens Can Work Together to Build a Better Future for All. And she joins us on the program now. Good morning, Diana. How are you this morning?
I'm very well. Good morning to you.
It's great to have you here, especially because we are so close to this election. We are so close to finally having, you know, whatever the direction is going to be of the country heading forward. And already, you know, we're starting to get at each other's throats with just weeks to go here. What is going on in America today with all of this? I mean, it sounds like it's a really big question, but I think if anybody can break it down for us, it's you.
Well, you know, that question has been on my mind for many decades because I've seen very similar dynamics occur in organizations. So during the pandemic and a very divisive presidency and during the racial reckoning that we experienced back in the, you know, from the 2020, 2021, it really got me thinking about what is going on here. I mean, can we define what's going on in a way that you and I can solve it? And so I began to think about things that we can control. So I definitely think forces like social media, the press, are profoundly impacting how we talk with each other and how we see each other and what we do with each other. But the reverse is also true. And so one of the things that I did is I went to look for people who are actually breaking through those forces and starting to work together across divides. And I discovered thousands. Then I discovered there were tens of thousands. Then I discovered there were hundreds of thousands. And there are actually millions of people right now working across divides. And that's the fundamental problem, is that as a nation, we have always lived in separate groups, divided along both demographic lines and ideological lines. And when we become under threat due to changes in the environment, like globalization, migration, climate change, then those groups get very, very insular within, and they start recycling the same facts, recycling the same beliefs, reading the same newspapers, and they get very distant and very hostile across. And the more hostile they get across, the more closed they become within. And so you get this escalating cycle of people living in camps that are just cut off from everything and everyone and fighting across these camps. So that's the fundamental problem that these people, hundreds of thousands of them, are starting to change by working at the local level on problems that we all share and have in common.
And from a political perspective, you know, whatever your ideology is, you seem to think that the other person is who Diana's talking about right now. You're like, oh, she's talking about them. But the problem is it's really on all sides. It's happening no matter what people's ideologies are.
It is. In fact, you know, the two insights from the book that have always struck me One is, no matter how much we disagree on the substance, we've all been raised to handle those disagreements the same way, which is to seek to win, not lose, zero sum, point, counterpoint. So we all have been socialized to debate in ways that are destructive as opposed to constructive in the sense that we can actually create something that both of us could agree on, that we could both live with. So we've both been raised exactly the same way. So, under those conditions, it's really hard to find agreement. And then we've all been raised in these separate groups. And so we tend not to be able to understand what the other people in the other groups are thinking, experiencing, or seeing. We don't see any commonality. We only see our differences. And we start to look for confirming data that we're right, they're wrong. And then from there, you just can't make progress. And I did some research in an organization once where I designed a survey to get at how aware were people of their contribution to the conflict in that organization. And it was the results were stunning because, 80% would say that they handle conflict well, where only 10% of everyone else does. They'd say, they're okay with making mistakes, but only 5% of others are okay with making mistakes. So we tend to be grossly unaware of our own role in these conflicts.
Wow. That is shocking. One of the things that I've noticed, and I talk about this a lot here on the program, is that things really have become an us versus them mentality in all things. You're either with us or you're against us. And if you're against us, you are against us and we're against you. And has this kind of divide, I know you said that the pandemic was kind of the spark for looking into this, but in your research, do you find, has there always been that kind of divide, or is it a relatively new phenomenon that we have these hard division lines that we aren't willing to see over the other side of that line anymore?
That's a really good question. And it's one that I think we have very little as a population, as a people, very little understanding of. And it's one of the reasons why we're in trouble. So I'm really hoping that people do read the book, because I think it will help people understand this. You can date where that us them mentality began and how long it's been around by looking at our evolutionary history as a species. When we began to realize that it's pretty tough out there hunting back in the day when there were creatures that could kill us, we learned to cooperate within groups so that we could go out and forage and hunt together. And we created groups where we had group identities and group structures. We learned to cooperate in groups. And what people fail to understand is that the reason we learned to cooperate within groups is so that we could compete against them. And so competition and cooperation evolved hand in hand. We lived in an era up until the last 100 years. We've lived in an era where that in-group cooperation and cross-group competition served us. It was okay. But now we've got so many problems that cross boundaries, from climate change to migration to war to pandemics. All of these require us to cooperate across groups. So we haven't yet learned to do that. So that's one. The second is, we have a history as a nation of us, them political polarization ever since we were founded. And our democracy is actually founded on an adversarial form of democracy. And there's nothing that requires a democracy to be adversarial. That's just a product of our evolutionary history. So I think we need to start to rethink of ourselves not as adversaries. And this goes to our political system. We're going to have to make some political reforms for this to work. But you can't make the political reforms as long as people are polarized. So I think we've got to begin to see each other as friends, not as adversaries, which is hard when you're in the middle of a swirl of an election and you've got social media and the press. And that's why these groups I describe in the book, and I talk about where they are, who they are, how you can join them. That's why these groups are so important, because they can start to break down this us-them mentality.
Well, one phrase that I've heard increasingly used over the last few years is the term doubling down, that people just get so locked into a way of thinking that when you do present them another perspective on it or some information that they might not have had when they made that decision, instead of reconsideration, what they end up is they end up this doubling down. They just push harder for why they are right. And I think part of the issue here is we need to normalize changing your mind, that it's okay to evolve your thinking. And that's not something that we seem to be willing to give people credit for doing these days.
No, you know, that's a really good point. And it really worries me how much we think about changing your mind as somehow losing face. You know, it's like, gee, I was wrong. And not only was I wrong, but I was wrong for being wrong. And, you know, there's a piece of research I did for the book on what happens when you're faced with a hot conflict. And oftentimes it triggers what's called the hot system in your brain. And when your hot system in your brain gets triggered, you start to think more simplistically, you start to become more reactive, your emotions take over, your emotions flood your reasoning. It's very hard to be sort of cavalier about, yeah, maybe you're right, maybe I'm wrong, let's think through the facts, when you're in your hot system. So one of the things that I recommend for people is to recognize those moments and to try to shift to what's called your brain's cool system, which allows you to be more reflective and more thoughtful, to go slower, to think through issues, think through the facts more with somebody else, not be so wedded to your view that you can't learn, you can't change, you can't acknowledge where you might be missing something. It's very, very difficult, but it can be done.
One of the things that I think is part of the issue with that is we live in an information society, so people expect that you have that information all the time. If they know it, you must know it too, and people get put on the spot. So it's not a matter of somebody comes up to you and says, well, so what do you think about this, you know, migration issue? You no longer can say, I'm not really sure. I got to do a little bit more digging into that before I really form my opinion. And you've got to have a hot take right away. You've got to have your answer right away. And maybe that's just the way that I'm seeing things, because obviously I work in talk radio, so we thrive on that. But I think that that is, you know, something that is also permeating through society, is that people want to know what you think about something, and you better have an answer. And I don't know, I need to do more research is not an acceptable answer for people anymore.
Well, I mean, you just said something really interesting, because I think it's right. Talk radio is one of the actors, right? So here's an opportunity for you to create conditions for people to say they have to think more about it. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so, you know, I think it begins with all of us, including you. You know, we've got to give people the right not to have to have the research right at their fingertips. But more importantly, I mean, think about this notion. I know it's hard for people to get their heads around, or they take it for granted, but we really do live in separate groups, and those groups are quite isolated from one another. And that, by definition, means we have access to different information. We're not looking at the same things. We're not looking at the same facts. Now, that is a problem, but it is also the answer to what is ailing us, meaning we can't, if you're in a multi-group democracy, which we are, right? You're 50-50, basically, in how people see things. You can't solve any problems unless you begin to learn from one another, okay, and come up with answers that both groups find acceptable. It just can't be done. You can't solve the problems. You can't solve climate change. You can't solve immigration. You can't solve economic issues. You can't solve school shootings. You can't solve any of it unless you begin to realize that you only have some of the facts, only some of the experiences, and other groups have other facts and other experiences, and you need them all to solve the problem. It can't be solved. So that hopefully creates an incentive for people to start thinking about, what am I missing?
And I think that that is, you know, the fact that you can be armed for an argument with so little information is something that stuns me. And I always try to say here on this program, you know, we're going to use logic, not emotion. We're going to speak logically about things. We're not going to let ourselves get emotional, which is, you know, counter to what a lot of talk radio is, as we were saying. But I find that the emotions are so easily manipulated. And that's part of the problem here, is that we have put ourselves in a position. We are so easily manipulated, even when we think that we're not. And by the way that the information is presented to us.
Well, you know, that is one of the most important insights I came to, and I'm so glad you mentioned it. So few people recognize that we're so focused on the forces manipulating us, which we should be aware of, by the way. That's the only way you cannot be manipulated. But we're not aware of what makes us so vulnerable to manipulation. Why are we so vulnerable to why are we so easily conned? That's my question. Why do we allow ourselves to be conned? There's nothing about that that is in our self-interest. It is so bad for us as people, as a people. So one of the things I think we need to look at is what allows us to be so easily manipulated. And part of it is we have a terribly difficult time independently judging facts. So, you know, because we live in these separate isolated groups and we don't have access to, we don't look for, it's less access. We don't look for information that lies outside of our group. So when people say Haitians are eating dogs and cats, if you don't know any Haitians, if you don't understand the Haitian culture, if you don't know anything about, you know, people who live in those communities because you've never had a relationship with somebody who's Haitian or Haitian descent, and you don't know anybody who does, how would you ever independently judge that? You have to take people's words for it. But that happens, that's like a sort of a single event. But that's true of if you don't know people who live in lower economic brackets in rural communities, when they're called deplorable, you have no way of independently judging if they're really deplorable. If you hear that African Americans are more prone to commit crimes, you don't have any data other than statistics to tell you that people in African American communities throughout our country are working hard just like everybody else trying to get by and make a life for themselves. If you don't know people in these other groups, how do you independently judge it?
Right. And the other problem, too, is when you hear these claims, people have lost the ability to say to themselves, well, gee, that sounds a little odd. Let me look into that more. Instead, they just take it at face value. So, you know, they hear a claim like, you know, people are eating dogs and cats. And instead of the natural reaction, which should be, is that really true? Like, how can that be true? Instead, it is like, see, exactly right. And that's where we've gotten to, where we just want stories and anecdotals that support the way that we're already thinking.
And I think that's a key issue, is that we're unaware of the cultural beliefs that we share in our small groups and how they shape what we think. So we drink in from the world around us and our small little worlds. We drink in the beliefs of those around us. And we, you know, almost through a process of osmosis, we adopt them as our own. And then we have, and this is like for 40 years, we've been aware of this. This is not new. We have these implicit cognitive biases we're not even aware of that direct our attention and what we look for and how we think and how we reason. So confirmation bias is a very famous one. We tend to look for data that confirms our beliefs. We tend not to look for data that would challenge them. And then you have emotional defenses. And the emotional defenses, which protect our self-esteem, our identity, that makes it even harder to look for data that might challenge our beliefs because of what we were talking about earlier, which is if we acknowledge we're wrong, we're basically saying we're not just wrong, but we're wrong for being wrong. You know, you don't have the right to be wrong. And so you have this constellation of factors. And this is why I think the only way we can ever counter that is by putting ourselves in situations as easily as, and there are plenty of resources, which I cite on my website, remakingthespace.org, also in the book. There are plenty of resources that can help us in an efficient use of time. You don't have to spend our lives doing it. Starting to reexamine some of this so we're not conned, so we're not so easily manipulated, so we can actually see people with different views without being threatened by it. So there's an organization called Starts With Us, and they have a website. And they give you exercises that allow you to start to break out of some of these dynamics that I'm talking about here so that you're not a captive of them. And, you know, none of us wants to be a captive of things that are hurting us, and yet we all are.
Yeah, we need to start getting our humanity back and being, you know, people that make up a society instead of people that are manipulated and fall victim to society.
And hurting one another in ways that hurt us.
Well, the book is Remaking the Space Between Us. how citizens can work together to build a better future for all. Diana, remind us again about the website for it as well.
Yeah, there's a website, remakingthespace.org. I also have a Substack newsletter called Remaking the Space, and I'm continuing to do my research on that website, and that has access to a lot of podcasts, the website, articles, organizations, resources people can use to start to move in a better direction.
Well, we would definitely love to have you come back sometime when we could hopefully be talking about how we are making these strides and making these steps toward it. But I'm afraid that it might take a little while before we get to that point.
It will take a while, but we've already begun. And that's the press does not report it. It's already begun. We're on our way.
All right. Well, I definitely want to have you come back sometime with us. We can talk more about that. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much. You have a great day. Take care.
You as well. All right. We have to take a quick break here. When we come back, we'll get the news from Phil and then more with you, 508-996-0500. What a fantastic conversation we just had with Diana. I'm looking forward to going back and listening to that again on the podcast. But you can pick up that book at Barnes & Noble and bookstores around and anywhere else you can get books, as well as on Amazon.com as well. So it's, I think, if we all read that book and brought some of those ideas in it together here on this program and Two Talk Radio, we could be leaders of this change. And I think we all agree that that change is needed. But as we, you know, hear and digest all the news of the world and all the things that are going on, thank God we have somebody like Phil Devitt that can bring it to us in a fair and unbiased manner. So let's go to the newsroom and get all the top stories of the day from Phil Devitt.
Assessing the damage left by Helene in the southeast. California issues a formal apology for slavery. And all hail the weekend now.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
And now the real work begins, assessing exactly what Helene's wrath has left behind as it ripped across Florida. U.S. Senator Rick Scott says the state mobilized ahead of the Category 4 storm that made landfall near Tallahassee last night with winds of 140 miles per hour.
I know the utilities have 18,000 linemen here now, but today is going to make sure we do a lot of searching. And make sure everybody that's in harm's way is rescued. Make sure that if there's anybody we haven't heard from, we check their homes to make sure everybody's safe.
Scott says Florida is resilient and that the state will get through this and rebuild stronger. New York City Mayor Eric Adams is due in court today, where he's expected to plead not guilty during his arraignment on federal corruption charges. Sarah Lee Kessler with a preview.
Prosecutors hit New York's Law and Order mayor with a 57-page indictment Thursday, claiming Adams accepted lavish gifts and trips from Turkish officials looking to buy his influence. It also says France, Turkey, and China gifted Adams free business class tickets, upgraded hotel suites, and millions of dollars in illegal campaign contributions. Adams denies it, says he's done nothing wrong and has no plans to resign. I'm Sarah Lee Kessler.
Kamala Harris expected to visit the border today. Former President Trump is asking why she didn't fix the border 4 years ago.
Why would she go to the border now, playing right into the hand of her opponent? I mean, you take a look at this. Why would you do that?
Speaking from New York City on Thursday, Trump criticized Harris for visiting the Arizona border on Friday, saying she could have fixed it as vice president. He claims Harris willfully opened the border, helping to destroy our border. I'm Brian Shook.
Democratic Governor Gavin Newsom has signed a formal apology for California's role in slavery and its legacy of racism against black people. Daniel Martindale with the details.
It was part of a package of reparations bills the governor signed on Thursday. California banned slavery in its constitution upon becoming a state in 1849, but the state had no laws that made it a crime to keep someone enslaved or require they be freed, which allowed slavery to continue in some places. Newsom says the bill is a step toward making amends for the harms caused. I'm Daniel Martindale.
The Biden administration announcing a massive military aid package for Ukraine in its fight against Russia. Here's Kate Fisher.
The U.S. says the weapons shipment includes a medium-range missile which will allow the Ukrainians to strike Russian forces at a safer distance.
The nearly $8 billion package announced Thursday includes over $5 billion in weapons from Pentagon stocks under authority granted by Congress and over $2 billion for drones, bombs, and air defense weapons. And you worked all week and made it to the weekend. Now what? Bree Tennis knows.
Franciscan Health says one-third of us will nap during our time off work. And that's good because napping improves mood and increases creativity. But Jobsite Monster says all that napping cuts into fun, and that causes 76% of us to suffer from something called the Sunday night blues. And it's not the reality of returning to work. They say it's the reality that sleep is more important than play. I'm Bree Tennis.
WBSM Sports.
Bruins have dropped two of their first three preseason games now after falling to the New York Rangers 5-2 at Madison Square Garden. Visiting the Philadelphia Flyers tomorrow, Red Sox start their final series of the season tonight with the Tampa Bay Rays at Fenway, and the Patriots hoping to put an end to their two-game skid off to San Francisco to play the 49ers on Sunday.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Good to be with you, everybody, on this Friday morning. Chance for showers will be tapering off with temperatures around 60 this morning with some patchy fog. Mostly cloudy this afternoon, low 70s. Cloudy skies will prevail overnight, upper 50s. As we head into the weekend, we could be dealing with some morning patchy fog, partial sunshine, and temperatures in the upper 60s. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ceci del Carmen on New Bedford News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
And welcome back in. It is time now to speak with Eric over at the Butcher Shop, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford. Good morning, sir. How you doing today?
Hey, Tim. What's going on, brother?
Oh, man. I got to tell you, I came by the other day. I got those celebrity pork chops, and you were not kidding. They are the best pork chops I've ever had in my life.
I told you, bro. I told you.
It really is. It's crazy how much it is just like a steak.
Yeah, pork's evolved, my man.
So, I mean, I understand now why they're celebrities, because if I ever meet one of those pigs, I'm getting its autograph.
So, I don't even know what to say to that.
What do you got? What do you got going on with it? Yeah, thanks. And I did it just like you suggested, too, by the way. Little salt, little pepper. That was it. That was all that it needed.
Yeah, that's all it needs. Yeah, it doesn't need more than that. It's overkill.
So what do you got going on over there today?
Dude, I got everything going on. It's Friday. It's a fish day. I got a lot of stuff going on, brother. I got a lot of fresh meats, wines, beer. I got grapes, peppers, everything. Everything's flying out.
I saw some of the grapes there on the counter, and they look incredible. Where do those come from?
California. It's wine season. You know how it goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are beautiful grapes. And one of the things that I love when I go in there and I get to see you guys working is, you know, seeing how much thought you put into everything. You ask everybody, how thick do you want it? What kind of cut do you want? I mean, you're really making sure that people get exactly what they want, not like in the supermarket where you're just grabbing whatever they cut for you.
Yeah, that's the difference, dude. It's just the quality of kale. You know what I mean? We try to cater to everybody.
And with that in mind, you know, people can always go into you with special requests, and you always say you'll try to accommodate it if you can.
Yeah, do the best I can, man. I'll make whatever you want if I can do it.
What are you going to make for yourself this weekend?
My man, I think I'm going to have a tomahawk.
There you go, yeah. I mean,
I like tomahawks. I try to have them every couple of weekend or so. I have a tomahawk. Ribeye, not like a ribeye, man.
And when you are cooking it, what do you do to kind of prepare it?
Dude, just a little bit of salt and pepper. That's all it needs.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, it's amazing how much flavor there really is in the meat when you're so used to buying stuff at the supermarket and then you get it from the butcher shop. You can really taste that difference.
Yeah, man. You know what? I throw on a nice egg and a strip of pepper. You know the red, the long peppers there?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love that on there. That's the best, too.
That sounds perfect. Well, I hope everybody comes on by and you probably got some people that are coming and ask for those celebrity pork chops because I've been talking about them all week. So.
Yeah, people have it.
All right. Well, you have a great weekend. We will check in with you next week.
All right. I'll talk to you, brother. Later.
Thank you. All right. Bye. That is Eric over at the Butcher Shop, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford. Get everything that you need there for your weekend. Get yourself some good meats. Get yourself some beer, some wine. Get yourself some of those grapes. I got some of Maria's rice pudding. They had plenty of that out there. It was so good. I got the single person serving. I've only eaten half of it because it's so delectable that you want to savor it. You don't want to just scarf it down. So stop on by and get yourself some of that with whatever else you're picking up at the butcher shop. So 508-996-0500. We have a little bit of time here still where we can take your phone calls. A little bit of time still where you can enter to win tickets to see Sebastian Maniscalco at TD Garden on October 4th. So we are giving away tickets to that next week.
we are going to have another ticket giveaway for you as well. And also, this is Fright Fest Friday. We're going to be giving away a pair of tickets to Six Flags for their Fright Fest festivities. But you know what? I think I'm going to do like what we did last week. So last week, what we did is instead of, you know, taking a caller or anything like that, we had a puzzle that we put out on the app. And it was, you know, some emojis that you had to guess the title of the movie using the emojis. So when I get off the air, I'm going to put that out. And then you can enter to win. The first person who responds back via app chat with the right answer will be the winner of these Fright Fest Friday tickets. And by the way, we're just calling it Fright Fest Friday because we're giving them away on Fridays. Doesn't mean that the tickets are only good on Fridays. They're open on the weekends during Fright Fest. But it'll be pretty easy to figure out. I just think that, you know, if you've got a good knowledge of horror films, you should be able to figure it out. We got an answer pretty quickly last week on the one we put out, which was The House on Haunted Hill. So we'll have another one for you coming up shortly after I get off the air here. So stay tuned for that app alert on the WBSM app. If you don't have it already downloaded, go get it right now from your app store. Or you can go on the website, WBSM.com, and click on the Listen tab. And there's an option there to have the app sent right to your device. Whatever email you use on the device, we can email it right on over to you. But that'll be a fun way to do it. And I like it because lets me be a little bit more creative and try to figure out, okay, what can I do here? What movie can we tell through emojis? Because I could always put out a trivia question on the app, but then, you know, it's so easy for you to just Google the answer to the question, and that doesn't really make it fair. I want to give people the chance to think a little bit and have some fun. So we'll do it that way. 508-996-0500. Let me take my next break here. We'll be right back. And welcome back in. And you don't have to feel it coming in the air anymore. You can actually go to AIR. AIR Taunton is one of the hottest new restaurants in the area. And it's not just another breakfast and lunch spot. It is a locally owned restaurant that offers a warm, welcoming atmosphere with stunning views, daily breakfast and lunch. And you can feel it coming in the air tonight because they have dinner served on Friday and Saturday nights. And Chef Charles Herman has created a menu over there at AIR that is sophisticated and innovative without being pretentious. You're really going to love the food over there at AIR. It's over by the Taunton Airport. That's why it's AIR, A-I-R-E. And right now, we have your chance to get a $50 e-voucher to AIR Taunton for just $25 at seizethedeal.com. So if you go there right now and you pay $25, you are going to get a $50 e-voucher sent to you. So it's not like the Seize the Deal certificates where you got to wait for them to come in the mail. This is something you're going to get very quickly. So you could be in the AIR tonight having dinner at AIR Taunton, or, you know, you can head over there for lunch or breakfast on the weekend. Whatever it is that you want to do, it'll be $50 for you to be able to spend there however you want for just $25. How do you get it? You go to seizethedeal.com and you will find that and many other great deals as well. But this is your chance to try one of the hottest restaurants around and do it for half price. It's not often that new places, you know, have a deal like this right away. You know, normally they're like, we've got to have some time and get our feet. AIR has been knocking it out of the park since they opened, and now they are ready for you to come and experience them. Half off, $50 for just $25 at seizethedeal.com. All right, we have a few moments remaining here in the program, about 15 minutes left. If you want to call in, 508-996-0500. We have app chat open on the WBSM app. I'm sorry, I just saw JJ's message to play Joss Stone when we had the guest on. I'm sorry, I didn't see that in time. I could have played that coming into the discussion. But it was a fascinating discussion. And that's why I want to make sure that we pointed out that when we're talking about this divide, it's and I said both sides, it's really all sides that are responsible for this. No matter what your beliefs are or what your political alignments are or your ideological alignments are, every group seems to have that us versus them mentality. And Diana was absolutely right that we have to get past that if we want to move things forward. Otherwise, you just get stuck in a circular logic battle of fighting to be right. So it's not about solving problems. It's just about beating the other person. And that doesn't get anybody anywhere. So I thought it was a very interesting discussion. It's a very interesting book. And you really could take that book and apply it not just to the political debates that we have, not just some of the culture war debates that we have, but even in your own life, even how you interact with your family members, with your coworkers, your friends. It's really the opportunity to see where we either create these conflicts unnecessarily or where we fall into them unnecessarily. Because she writes about the manipulation that happens when all you care about is being right. That creates an easy atmosphere for you to be manipulated by people who say, we know how to make it look like you're right. It doesn't mean that you are. It just makes it look like you are. And there was a talking point for the book that says, you know, it's so many people these days, and I didn't really get into it too much because I don't know that it's necessarily a language that's being used with our listeners, but certainly with the younger generation, they will say, oh, I feel seen. I feel heard. And there's a big difference between feeling seen or heard and actually being seen or heard. Feeling like you are seen or heard is just playing into your ego, your emotions. It's just making you feel like you've been placated. And placating somebody is different than actually listening to them and considering them. So, you know, it's tossed around a lot as a joke that maybe they'll put out a meme that says, you know, it's always, you know, the kind of person that orders 20 nuggets, a Big Mac, extra fries and extra large fries and a Diet Coke at McDonald's. And then somebody who does that will say, I feel seen. Like, so they'll use that as a joke. But also it's a phrase that people use when they feel like their opinions, their thoughts, their situations are not getting adequate representation or adequate consideration. And so when they feel like they've gotten that, they'll say, I feel seen. I feel heard. But that doesn't mean that you are seen or heard. It just means that somebody is giving you your few minutes of time to say what you want to say. Doesn't mean you're actually changing anybody's mind or reinforcing any points to anybody. And her theory, her thesis is that the only way to move forward isn't just to listen or to look, it's to actually consider. So again, a very fascinating book, one very much worth your time. And the name of it again is Remaking the Space Between Us, How Citizens Can Work Together to Build a Better Future for All. And we'll have that discussion up on podcast as well for you to be able to re-listen to coming up in just a bit. Now, over the course of the weekend, while I'm up there at TerrorCon in Marlborough, if anybody's going to head up there and walk around and meet all the horror celebrities and all the famous people that are going to be there, make sure you stop by my table too and see the guy who's not famous, who doesn't have the line in front of his table like everybody else. I'll have plenty of time to talk with you. And I'll have some of my books for sale as well. And we can talk about your paranormal experiences. We can talk about the Bridgewater Triangle, whatever's on your mind. We can talk about some of the upcoming Halloween season stuff that I got going on. But it's a really fun event. It's put on by the same people that put on Rhode Island Comic Con too. So we're going to try and see if we can show them that horror is the number one thing out of all the stuff that they can talk about at Comic Con. All right, I'm going to take my final break of the morning. We'll be back in just a few moments. back in. We have just a couple of moments remaining in the program before we'll give way to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now. And I want to remind you that tomorrow is the big fall favorites tasting at Stevie's Wine and Spirits at 115 Huddleston Avenue in Fairhaven. It's going to be happening from 1 to 4 p.m. So from 1 to 4 p.m., they're going to have a tasting of fall favorites. You'll get a chance to come and sample for free. And then if you want to buy anything that you sample, anything that they're giving the samples of that day, there's going to be 10% off. So you can save money while you're getting this delicious stuff for the fall. But they'll also be raising money for the Veterans Center in Fairhaven. So they're going to doing a raffle drawing. And even if you can't make it tomorrow, you can still stop by today and buy raffle tickets. And they're raffling off some really cool glassware. One is like a decanter that's a globe. The other is a decanter that's on a wooden rack. And you get some glasses with it as well, with these as well. And the other is a set of really nice, like, brandy glasses. So I think if you have anybody in your life who likes to partake in a libation now and then, this could be a great thing you could win and then save to give as a holiday gift, right? They're not going to know. They're not going to know where you got it. But the important part is all the money raised is going to go to help the Fairhaven Veterans Center. So go ahead and get your tickets there now. You'll have to compete with me. I've already bought a whole bunch. But then also, if you can't make it to the tasting tomorrow, you know, have a sample for me, because I'm not going to be able to make it. I'll be at TerraCon. But I'll still make sure I go there and say, well, all right, so what did you sample? Because anything that has a purple dot, I'm going to try it. See if I want to buy it. But check it out. Stevie's Wine and Spirits, 115 Huddleston Avenue in Fairhaven. The tasting tomorrow from 1 to 4. And you can follow them on social media at Stevie's Wine and Spirits on Facebook, on Instagram. Don't forget to join that Rackhouse Club. If you are a whiskey, bourbon, rye, scotch fan, you will definitely love being part of the club like I am. All right, that is going to do it for me. Stay tuned for Chris. I'm going to be...
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.